had something to say before I walked these aisles. I'm going to say it because, and Lord, I've been thinking on this all day. I tell you what, I got to listen to the service again. I had to work Sunday, but I got to listen to it. I didn't get to listen to it all because I think it messed up. But what I got to listen to, it got me excited. He asked a question. He posed a concept. Are we pleasing God?
Okay.
So I started writing some things down. Examples of how we please God.
Yeah.
Let's look at the natural.
Yeah.
How does the son please the father?
Come on.
How does the wife please the husband?
Come on.
You know what? To please God, you have to have faith.
That's right.
Faith is a revelation.
Yes.
And then I was like, I went a little bit further to Brother Branham.
Uh-huh.
Perfect faith.
Yeah.
He said, now faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please him.
There it is.
And if you say that you believe God, you have never seen him. See, so when you've got to believe in by faith, and if you could see him, it would be no more faith. It'd be manifestation.
That's right.
See, anything that the senses declare is no more faith. It's a scientific fact. See, it's not no, but you have to accept him by faith. And he that cometh to God must believeth God. And faith cometh by hearing the word of God.
That's it.
You see? Yeah? You must first believe this in God's word. You have to have faith on God. You have to have faith, and eventually you step out on that.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Moore was saying, you know, I hope your brothers never sit back down.
Amen.
I want to please God.
Yeah.
This is real. You know, I went to Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
I know who I'm seeking today.
Amen.
I'm not sitting here looking for something. I'm not looking for a mystery, a thunder, a sign. You know, but then I looked at something a little simpler. Because, you know, God speaks in simple.
That's it.
Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
A joyful noise. It doesn't have to be something profound. No. Brother Jeremiah said, you can get up here and said, I didn't see it before, but now I see it now.
That's it
doesn't have
That's
to be
joyful.
A three-hour sermon.
Yeah.
You can get up and burn for 1 minute.
Come on.
Revelation 10:11 says you have to prophesy again.
There it is.
It's not... we are the final voice of the final age.
Yes,
I'm going to prophesy. It's going to be my voice.
Come on.
That when John heard that voice was the voice of God.
Amen.
You know, then Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered.
Mm-hmm.
That's two witnesses.
Yeah.
Two witnesses.
Yeah.
So I wrote down here, you know, I refuse to sit down on God.
Amen.
I woke up this morning again with breath,
which
means I have a job to do.
Yes.
There's still a body that needs to be raised.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking even simpler. You know, I could say, I know the body.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say, little bride, get up.
Right.
And I've compassed all of them.
Amen.
I've compassed the ones that have fallen, the ones that are.
Right.
I think about the natural. When you eat junk food, that gut biome, it wants sugar and junk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you feed it with the word,
yeah.
things start changing. It's not something I can change. It's not something I can change. It's a supernatural quickening. So, you know, and I was thinking about this. Hebrews 13:8 says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we think about that, you know. You think about the gifts. You know, you think about the healing. You think about the signs and wonders. But I also thought about, you know, when David tore off his clothes. And they danced around. They had so much faith. And God, that we almost seem a little of a hindrance.
Amen.
I don't want to feel hindrance to him.
Amen.
You know, so I said, it's those miracle gifts and wonders, the same power of resurrection, that power is mine.
Right.
I speak boldly.
Amen.
Where's God at?
Amen.
This temple still has to have praise. I still need to praise him.
Amen.
Just because he stepped off that throne and stepped down onto flesh doesn't mean that the praise has stopped.
Amen.
No, you know, I love this is... God's always done things differently.
Yeah.
Look at the sacrifices of Cain and Abel.
Right.
You know, it wasn't pretty. It didn't smell fresh.
No. Nope.
It wasn't flowers and what the denominations thought.
No.
It was ugly. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But obedience is better than sacrifice.
Come on.
You know, if Cain could have just been obedient,
right.
But it wasn't in him. Yep. No, it wasn't in him. And then you look at then at Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a thief. Jacob lied. But Jacob respected that birthright. It wasn't the flesh. It was that respect for the birthright. You know, and then I looked to here, and then, you know, again, how God brings us. Revelation 16 and 15. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 22. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. It's not going to be loud. The thunder's already came. Everyone's waiting for a sign.
That's history.
I'll be gone. I'll be having my wedding supper. And then the last thing I thought is Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Who shall separate me? Who shall separate? Nobody can separate me. Because I'm not a Trinitarian. You start looking at me, you say, when you see me, you see the Father. I am about my Father's business. What is Revelation's understanding of who you are in this day and age?
That's it.
It's not an understanding like, well, Lord, if you, we're not praying no more. Like, Lord, if it's your will. If it's your will. No, we're speaking. Get up, little bride. Get up. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And then, no, there has to be a manifestation of it. It's a revelated faith.
That's right.
Because that's how God, you please God, is you get up and you realize, oh, okay. Because when that son obeys the father,
right.
When that wife heeds to the husband, there's scripture for it.
Amen.
You said it on Sunday. That's what I loved about it, because you can come up here and you can say with such confidence, because if it was anything else, God would fix it.
Right.
I have that much faith in what I say that if I said anything out of the way, like, well, that's not, oh, amen. That's a believer. A believer will turn to it. But I know I have so much revelation.
Yes,
that came in, I couldn't even sit still. I couldn't sit still during the day. It's changed me. You start burning a little bit different. I'm sitting at home. I told my daughter, I was like, this is the highlight of my day. I'm going to get up a little bit early because I know the brothers are getting up today. I'm going to get up a little bit early because I want to start a fire. I don't want to sit here and be stingy with God, starchy with God. No, he's been too real. It's Wednesday night. You guys made it. And this is why they say make it at 30 minutes early. You're going to miss God. Where's God's at? God's in flesh. God's in a many-membered body. God's moving.
Amen.
And if you don't move, you'll miss him. And I tell you what, I don't want to be the one who misses God. Not this hour. Gather yourselves closer in the time. Oh. So someone's about to hold my mule because I'm about to take a walk. God's been too good to me.
My father sent out a message for me to read to the congregation tonight. It starts, a reasonable sacrifice. God bless brothers and sisters of the bride body. Thank you for the prayers and support. I continue to be blessed, just as we all are, from the messages of the word of God we continue to receive. I appreciate God doing their part. I appreciate everyone doing their part to further the good news of the gospel. Wanted to share a scripture or two from the last Sunday's message. Pastor asked, what pleases God? Pastor Moore asked that question on Sunday and referred to the story of David. First scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here it is paraphrased, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice,
amen,
holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. This is what God wants. Just your body. Total access to do whatever he needs to do. He called you. He made you for a specific job. Go without fear to do the job God called you to do. One secret I learned in life is that you don't even know the job. So it makes no sense in stressing about the difficulty.
Amen.
Present your body and God's obligated to see you through.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible does not say that Noah was a boat builder, and that's why he was chosen to build the ark. He says he found favor with God because he had faith and just gave his body as a reasonable sacrifice. The then God was able to work through him. Second scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Please notice that David was anointed from that day forward. He hadn't taken down Goliath or led any armies or fought any wars yet. But from then on, David knew that he had been called by God to do a job. Mm-hmm. Pastor said it best. Nothing can befall me because I am the anointed. God called me, God saved me, and God will see me through. Today's is the best way I can please God. God is to give him my all and hold nothing back. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's good to hear from Brother Jay preaching from the hospital. Love my brother. Thinking about him a lot. There's food in the storehouse. Page 155. I might need a little help with it. Leading's a little different than just singing. Just following the leader. So
it is.
I know it.
In this day, men are
dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, word for the bride, Jesus has sent out of.
Feeding the sheep, the word of God, that
time.
There's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. There's no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Okay. Yeah, get the kids up.
Amen. Thank you. appreciate being here. I enjoy Brother Moore on Sunday, and it's my desire to be changed and not stirred.
Amen.
I just want to read a couple of scriptures from St. Mark 12:42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Yeah. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her what did cast in all that she had, even in all her living. And I just think about that. I don't want to give in my abundance.
Come on.
I don't want to. I want to give God everything he wants and everything I have. And that's my desire. That's what he wants from this bride. So that was the scripture that was coming to my mind on Sunday. I just want to share that.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You know, you hear that song. You know, why do we come here?
Come on.
And you know, I was thinking, something that's been on my mind is when Samuel, he just had to do what God said. Right. You know, and what does God told us to do? Call up the body, you know, to speak. Right. That's all he wants. It's a willing vessel to speak. And I was like, that's so easy. Amen. It's so easy. We make it so hard. And another thing you said that stuck with me, why don't we speak in tongues anymore? That's not gone. We just don't give into it anymore. But this is a party. I'm here to party. You know, this is my life. I'm here to party. So you know what, Seth? I'm going to take a walk too because I am happy to be here. Praise God.
That's right. Let's sing 123. Free, free, free. I like what she's saying. I like what Brother Seth was saying. You know, job description hasn't changed. You still got to get the debt up. That's the only thing left on my plate. Doesn't really matter too much what happens here. It's just I've got a job to do.
Amen.
I don't hold on to my Pepsi job so much or family stuff even so much. I mean, my token will cover them.
Sure.
You know, this rapture will take care of everything. So, go ahead, bro.
It's always good to be back here. Pastor asked, you know, the question. Me personally, what I was thinking about, you got the Baptist and Jehovah Witness. And they're happy when they're there, and they don't even have a revelation that we got. You know what I mean? Yeah. So why shouldn't the bride be happy? We got all these benefits that we get here. I mean, the bride should be happy. This is the reason why we should not be happy about this place. I mean, we got everything we need. I mean, God's telling you to come as you are. Just trust his word. That's all he's asking. Just believe it. Even if you don't see it, just agree with it. Just, you know what, say, Lord, if I don't see it right now, you have to show it to me later. But just trust him. Like I said before, God knows what he's doing, and I'm learning that more and more every day. Just trust God and stop putting your thinking on it, because when you put your thinking on it, Satan will creep in every single time. Yeah, right. So just trust his word and you'll be all right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm free.
blood of Jesus Christ, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Oh, hallelujah, I'm free. Yes, I'm free from this world of sin. Oh, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. Think about what you're singing. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Oh, hallelujah, I'm free. I'm free, yes, I'm free from this world of sin. Unbelief. I'm of Jesus Christ, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Yes, I am saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Oh, I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Oh, yeah. It's good to be free. Amen. You may be seated. Satan don't know what he got when he got the bride on his hands now. He thought he had it bad when he had Jesus here. He just followed Him around and was knocking on his door and pestering Him and messing with Him. That was just one man. You know, it's okay to have a little fire. You can stump that out. But when it's everywhere, you don't know. You go over there and try to stomp one out, and it starts over here. You go to stomp down. The devil don't know what to do with the bride. This is his worst nightmare. He thought it had it bad with Jesus, but that corn is gone to the ground, and that corn has come back up, and that seed is no longer abiding alone, but that same grain that was the groom that blacked his eye 2,000 years ago is the same word that's blacking his eye in the hour that we're living in now in His bride.
Amen.
He don't like us, but that's okay. We don't like Him either. It's good to be back in the house of God. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all messing up my church order. I saw Seth. He was sneaking it in. He said, I ain't going to ask to get up. I'm just going to get up. And I'll act like it's a testimony. Well, that's all right. That's the way Jacob worked. Get in there however you can. Get in whatever you need to do. I'm glad to see it. I told Brother Don yesterday, I said, y'all ain't make me nervous yet. I've been waiting for y'all to make me nervous for years. Y'all ain't done it yet. Not even close. You're just starting to do what you're ordained to do. I love it. Because we've so put it on the preachers and so put it on the pastor and so put it on the leadership in the church. And here you are packing TNT. Sitting there acting like you don't have nothing. Waiting for somebody to give you a little morsel of meat from the pulpit. And you come to find out everything I need is right here. And if anybody has anything to say to the body, it's me. That's the way you should feel. Because nobody knows what God's done for you like you do. And can't nobody testify for you? Can't nobody sing for you? You got to do it because it's in you. And you're going to bring it in a way nobody else has it. That's why everybody could get up here. If we got everybody up here, everybody will say it from a different angle. So don't sit back and if your knees are knocking right now and you're a little bit scared, don't worry about it. God's got it. God's got it. And I'm glad to see the brothers. I'm excited because I see the brothers getting excited. Now y'all see why I come in here excited. Because y'all doing a little. See, that's what homework's for. You know, when you go to school, and the teacher's talking and she's teaching or he's teaching you the lesson in class. Is that right, Sue? But then they give you homework. That ain't for the teacher. That's for you. That's giving you practical application. Giving you practice. So when you come to church and you hear the word of God and you hear the scriptures that's read and you hear the quotes that's read, your homework is to go back and think on those things. Write it down if you have to. Go home and meditate on it and look them up. Read the whole chapter. You know, don't just read this one little scripture. A lot of times we cut down the scriptures just to save time so we'll get right to the meat of the thought. But there's a lot of meat before and there's a lot of meat after it. And if you go home and do your homework, what you're going to find out is there's a whole lot to this message. And the more you read, the more you hear, the more you study, the more you get into it yourself, not getting something new, but thinking about what he's revealed to you, what that's going to do is turn you on. And I get tickled because your brothers are coming here on fire. And it's like you've never been on fire before. Or you hit it and miss it. You hit it and miss it. But I'm like, just burn. Just burn. Get up and burn. Like Seth did. Just get up and burn. Burn till there's a pile of ash right there. But the thing is, when you go home and you're looking at these things, and I got tickled when I was listening from Alabama, brothers would get up here with their scripture, and I said, well, they've read their Bible. And they'd follow up with a quote or two, and I said, why, they're reading the message. And they're up here burning and tying things and then edifying the body. And I'm like, this is what you should be doing. When we leave church, don't just put your Bible on the car seat and leave it in the car till next service. Because you ain't planning on reading it anyway. Just don't want to forget it. Because, you know, if you come into church without your Bible, pastor might ask about it. So you leave it in your car. Take it home and read it. What these brothers are finding out is what God's revealed to them is true. And it's turning them on. And I'm happy about that. So we got three brothers tonight. We're going to get Brother Mike up here first. He's going to be first on the platform. And then after Mike, then we're going to get Brother Isaiah to get up. He's wearing a tie tonight. He must be planning on preaching. And then after that, we're going to get our deacon, who is apt to teach. And he can wrap it up. And then when he finishes, he can give it back to me, and I'll tie it up. And but that's what's on now. Now, Skyler wants to get up, but I put him off till wherever he is. I put him off. Oh, there he is. I put him off till next Wednesday. I said, well, Jeremiah will get up next Wednesday, and you can get up with him. And so, because I don't want you brothers to think, okay, Jeremiah's back, pastor's back. Phew, it's done. No, go home, read. Go home, study. Go home, let God talk to you. And then come back and share with the body. You don't have to get up here and have a whole message. Do like Seth did. Just sneak it in. Just, you know, I recognize that, sir. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Then you slick in there before the deacon gets up. And so, all right. So there you go. So that's the order. Now this wireless is here. Y'all need to probably put it on. I'm going to turn it on. Put it on so that you should walk away from the microphone and it'll still be picked up on the internet. So Brother Mike Rice, come on. You want to say something? Or you, you getting ready to get go sit down somewhere. Okay. God bless you, sir. It's all yours.
I was just saying, what do I do with this? It's the first time up here.
Oh, that's right. Stick that in your pocket. Either one up or down. And then we'll put this right there.
Okay. Stay close. Stay close. I don't know, because I need you for a couple of things. Yeah, I need an expert witness, and I need a couple of things. First, I wanted to mention, I'm going to cut the small talk. I've got some ground to cover. Where there was a there was a question about tongues Sunday night. And that was a perfect answer. I wouldn't change a thing, but I want to rephrase the question. Okay. Have you ever seen, and if you have, how often, have you ever seen an angel get up here and speak in his own tongue, and everybody hears it in their own tongue, and any one of them can interpret it? Have you ever seen that, and how often? It's rhetorical. See, but before I even finished the question, before anybody could even speak, everybody understood. Rhetorical means, if you even, it's so obvious that an answer would be silly to give. But no. I'm glad John's here. I'm going to do that before I get up here. Can John come up here closer? I'm going to take his leash off. His testimony is my testimony. I was the one that traded books with him. So we have an accord, and I want to talk about accord. That's important. And don't cheat and look this up in the dictionary. You won't ruin it for me. You won't ruin it for us, but you'll ruin it for yourself. Because don't try to get ahead of me because you don't know where I'm going yet. But yeah, we traded books, but I need John to come up here. We have an accord. We understand each other. I thought that's why I kept looking back. I kept wondering if he was going to be here. But he knows me. The accord is, he knows I'll never say anything about him or to him that isn't out of love. And I know the same thing about him. That's an accord. Not everybody has that. But and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So if I ask out loud, where was I? It's because my thoughts are a lot faster than my voice. If you move fast enough, faster than your voice, it makes a boom. It makes a thunder. It makes a thunder. They call it a sonic boom. They don't let them do that too much because it starts shattering windows and making people go deaf. It sounds good to me, but it makes some people go deaf, I guess. But yeah, I want to talk about an accord. We need an accord. Yeah, John and I, everybody thought we kind of butted heads when we first met. Not a physical fight or anything, but he had just got out of lockup. And, you know, they all live like animals, and you almost have to think like an animal just to survive. You know, and I had some mental issues back then. When I go over his testimony, I'll talk about that. But, you know, we kind of didn't get along, and everybody thought they could talk about John. And I was going to jump right in and sing the same song and everything. And I'll just paraphrase. I said, God's got him. Leave him alone. Yeah, I knew that. Sure. But he heard. I didn't never told him that. Somebody else told him. And it tugged on his heart. And we had a building accord. But I found out later, I was going through some things. And like I said, mentally, as soon as I was healed, we talked about that last year. And God took it from me. Amen. But, I couldn't even hardly get out of the bed. I'd do the work of two men for a week, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't get out of bed. Brother Childers was getting upset, and he needed to get things done. He was ready to walk in my house, walk straight into my bedroom, and, you know, walk right past my wife, and it was going to be awful. And John was so bold back then, he basically told Brother Joe, leave him alone. God's got him. And he didn't tell me that. Somebody else came and told me. See, that's an accord. We need to get that. So I want to go to Acts 2.
Yeah.
I want to go to Acts 2. Before you don't read it, don't read it yet, because well, I'm going to talk about it off the top of your head. Off the top of your head. Because the word changes your heart, and your heart changes your mind. That fits into three realms. I got a whole message about that, but I'm not going to go there. For sake of time, we're going to keep moving. Because these ministers, when they hear what I'm saying, they're going to fill in the blanks for you. And by that time, I'll have something else. But okay. Now, just off the top of your head, ever since the church ages, it's one mind and one accord. We've been saying that forever, right? One mind and one accord. That's the first thing that pops. Well, let's go look at it, because there's an extra word in there. It's time to take it out, but more. It don't belong there. It's hiding what we want to pay attention to, because that's what brings the supernatural. That's what brings the body change. And I'm about to prove it. That's what gets the dead up. Okay. You ready? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. What's one mind? It might be in your footnote now. Because the accord means one mind, but it means a lot more than that. It means harmony. We've had one mind for what? What did you say, 60 years? We've had one mind, but the accord, not so much. Amongst one another. So, okay, now we pull that out. Pull out one mind. We shouldn't say it like that anymore. We should say one accord, because it means one mind. It'll even say it, like I said, on your footnote if you look at it. But it's a good thing Brother Mike's good with definitions. But I have a good example, and then I got a quote. But I need Sister Clarice for this one. The word accordion has accord in it, and you're my expert witness. Okay. What is an accordion? Make sure I get this right. Okay. It's one instrument with a bunch of different keys, multiple keys. And that's the mechanics. The dynamics is when the mighty wind hits it. But some of the keys about has the paint wore off of them. And some of them looks brand new. You got sharps and you got flats. Some songs, they might not even use your key in the whole song. But save your energy, because the next song, it might wear the paint off of you. Trust me. I'm finding this out.
Come on, brother.
I don't want to get, like I said ahead of it, I don't want to make a sonic boom. So, and I want, if anybody's taking notes, I want to do this slow, because this is kind of new. If it's strange coming from Brother Mike, think how I feel. See, that's an accord. We feel the same way.
That's right.
So, okay, where was I at? I say that out loud because it's kind of a prayer. But if one of you brothers, you know, wherever I, left you at, then if you just say that, then I'll be right back on track. Because I got a whole lot. I could preach till the end of the year. And not repeat myself. So, where was that? The quote? This is the quote. Now, first I wanted to go over something else. Sunday, you was talking about misfit. I've been talking about misfits. Because if there's a misfit, something don't fit exactly right. Right? That's what a misfit is. Let me think a minute. But that's a misfit. And you talked about a misfit. You know, the anointed one. But I had been talking about it. When I got home, my wife said, did I hear him say misfit? I said, yeah. He was talking about me. I said, and plus he said, he's a cute fella. I said, he had to be talking about me. And she about fell out of her seat. But she should have seen that it was talking about her, too. Because we're not talking about, that was the type back there. We're not talking about Samuel running around the countryside with a little rag and a bottle looking for one man. It's raining.
Yeah.
It's raining. Get out in and get wet. And you'll be anointed, too.
Come on.
Amen. That's right. Okay, I'm going to the quote. I got to figure out where I left it. Now, we're going to see who's a misfit and who's not. I only have a ministry to misfit. If you're not a misfit, I can't help you.
Amen.
If you got it all figured out, and you're waiting for everybody to conform to you, then I can't help you. I ask God, what can I tell you? And I hear crickets. I got to find this book. You can go ahead and speak on what you can fill in. But until I find this, go ahead and fill in. Okay. I mean, I've said enough already for you to get a message or two out of, at least. Yeah? I'm not selfish. But where is my book? This is important. Lord, help me. Where's my book? I sat out there by the shelter house because I wasn't ready to come in, and like I said, this blew my mind. No, I can't. No, you got to hear it word for word from Brother Branham. I should tell you something else. This is a story, and John's here. So, long time ago, I didn't understand this for a long time. John and I were talking. You know, Brother Schultz was getting up in age, and we was worried. You know, and he wondered if it was going to be a rapture when he died, and that's what he would have liked, because nobody understands him, Brother Childers. And he was hoping the rapture would hit when he left. And I remember from years before that, where Brother Childers made a statement. He said that he wasn't going to make the rapture. He had a work to do on the other side. So he had something to do. And so John was all excited. He wanted to find out. I wouldn't ask Brother Childers. But he wanted me to ask him, so we went up on his porch. You know, I lived on Beaver Valley, so we talked to Brother Childers all the time on the porch, and he lived behind him. So, but I asked him. I said, "Do you remember saying that?" And he said, "No, I don't remember saying that." And I could tell that troubled him. And it might have been a day later, might have been a couple days later. You could see he was still troubled. And it's just a work day, and we're just trying to get our assignments for the day and whatever. And you could tell he's tore up, and it was about overwhelming. And he said, "Stay with me, fellas." I went like that, like he panned it. And it was, okay, what was that? And I tried to figure it out with my mind. You know, I looked at the words, I examined them back and forth. And I couldn't figure it out. I put it on the shelf. And I would get this desire to get back to the Bible. That's what brought me back to this church. But that's all it would say. But I would get this desire to be with the body, to keep pushing this, to see this thing through. And it was overwhelming. And I would pray about it, and it wouldn't even talk to me. It just said, "Stay with me, fellas." And of course, when I was thinking it with my mind, I'm thinking, did he mean his company? Did he mean his properties? I mean, he's about to turn that over. You know, I had a for sale sign in my yard on Beaver Valley. They was, you know, evaporating. So, but I couldn't figure it out, but it haunted me. I could be making a bologna sandwich, or I could be cutting my grass. And I would get that feeling, and I would try to examine it. But I think what happened was that what he said, it wasn't the words in it, it was the vehicle. But he knew that he wanted to see this through, and he loved this body so much that it just came out in the expression. It's like he swiped it and scattered it. And so that's been with me for a while. I'm sorry it sat on the shelf so long, and I didn't know. But it was trying to get back to the body. I mean, this wasn't even a conscious thing. But it's just a love and a desire, and it wanted to get back where it came from, I guess. Does that make sense? Yeah. But I just did that. So if you get, if that's the test. If you can't think of the words and you just love this body and everything, just say, "Stay with me, fellas." Or even, "I'm with you, fellas." So I wanted to put, because I catch myself, even at home, when I try to get my wife to understand, they'll say, "Stay with me." And I thought, where'd that come from? So I mean, it's a real thing. It's an unseen force. It's not Brother Children's spirit. I mean, you know, spirit. It's just what he had to leave behind. He left that. And I happened to hear it and catch it and see it. That's an accord. And so I had it. It was trying to get back to the body, and it haunted me and wouldn't leave me alone. And in fact, that's what got me up here today, probably. But I tell you what he said, and now it'll affect you. And I feel better getting it out because there's a relief of releasing that. So, but I can't give you back what won't come loose from me. So I'm stuck with it. Now you're stuck with it. So, but that's going to move us forward. Okay, I got to find this. I hope it ain't in my truck or something. There's an important quote. Ooh, I think we got it. The ever-present water from the rock. Now, this quote found me. I didn't find it. I didn't use the app, anything like that. I just happened to be, I pick up a book, you know, and I read it for a couple days and then get another one. Well, I was thinking on this cord thing. I come across this. It just happened. I mean, like I said, I literally found it in my lap. And I thought, well, that's strange. Okay, let me figure out what page it is, and I'll I even wrote it down on a little index card so I could hand Brother Moore to show him. To show. And something fell out of it. This is important stuff. I'm going to cry. I got too much notes in my Bible. I'll just say something about notes real quick. I gave Brother Moore, he'll remember this, when I had something, I gave it to Brother Moore, because he told us to take notes, and I was getting good at it. But after a while, I didn't go back through them, and I had a big pile. All I did was waste the tree. So I'm glad to see these sisters showed me that. Get them back out. Look at them. Yeah. That's what you did it for. Otherwise, you wasted your time. I got my scriptures memorized, but I have to find this. This thing found me. It needs to find me again. Paragraph 73. That hit my head. When I said that, it stuck in my head. Okay, here it is, 76. So that got me there. Okay. Now we're going to see who's a misfit and who's not in this. Okay. He says, but if you are really in love, you just can't wait till Sunday morning comes. You've just got to get down there with them. And to leave, see, he's looking for words like me. And the people of God, they don't bore you. Why? They are your brothers and sisters.
That's right.
He said, as I used to say, you get as thick as sorghum molasses on a cold morning. It doesn't run, it just stays together. But it's trying to get you to know what I mean. He said, no, that's a rude expression for that. I skipped the line. He said, you stick together, and the colder it gets, the tighter they stick. Right. And that's the way it ought to be with us.
Amen.
You know me, I'm big on definitions. We got a problem. The way we've been talking all these years is, don't get too close, I'll stick you. Okay, and then we got this sticky.
Right.
It's like honey in your mouth.
Right.
You can't wipe it off.
Right.
But this one makes your belly bitter. You hear, just even hear it. You're going to stink me. Now, there's a lot of people that's walked out of here with a revelation. They had the mind, like in Acts, but there was no accord. But I'll let you think about that a minute, and I'll keep moving. Like I said, I don't want to get too far. If people are writing things down, I want to make sure, you know, if I go too
Amen.
Fast. But if I miss it, somebody's going to pick it up in their own language, in their own tongue, and they'll say it again in a different way. But it all interprets the same.
That's right.
An angel will tell you in his tongue. But yeah, we got to make a decision on which sticky we want. I think we ought to get rid of the old one.
That's right.
Like I said, that makes your belly bitter.
It
might not make me walk out of here hearing that type of talk. You know, I might not leave for 2 months, but I might have to go find a restroom. I got a lot on my mind. Somebody mentioned where I was. I'll just pick up what Brother Jay, we want to stick like molasses. But and I wanted to talk about John and a couple things, but I'm ready to keep moving, though. I'll just go ahead and pick up, because this one's bugging me, too. It's what Brother Jay gave us. He said Jesus walked on water with no practice. I want to take that a little farther. I thought about it, and Peter, he might need a little practice. Sometimes we need a little practice. But I was thinking about it, and the instructions you gave me, and you gave me some guidelines so about walking on water, and so I started thinking about that. To walk on water, I thought about it. If you get out of the boat and you get on the water and you look around, you ain't got no buildings in the way. You ain't got no stop signs. It's just, you can see all the way to the horizon when you're out on the water. I see Peter, I think he might have drowned, but faith is a life preserver. On my worst day, I can tread water.
Amen.
But on a good day, I can get up and walk for miles.
Yeah.
But what Brother Moore told me in his tongue, and I heard it in mine, is don't get too far from the boat. Isn't that what you told me Sunday? Yeah, I mean, you can walk for miles, but you turn around and look, so where'd the boat go?
Right.
See that dot over there on the horizon? You might want to head back. But anyway, Matthew 8 is where he walked on water. I wanted to skim down through there. That's in Matthew 8, and you see a lot of miracles. I got another message, too. I talked about the three realms. I got to wait. I'm just going to tie that together. There's another message, and I was going to call it another title of Brother Rams, and that was for his day. But if God be with us, where's all the miracles?
That's right.
And see, I got in accord with Jay because he's in the hospital. I was in the hospital. But my hand was all withered up, and I'm trying to figure out how to eat with my fork or spoon, you know. And I dropped my spoon because I never ate left-handed before. And it falls on the floor, and I reach down to pick it up. My butt gets off the mattress, and an alarm goes off, and they come running to you. What's going on? Are you okay? And I say, I'm fine. Just now that you're here, why don't you go get me a spoon, please? So I'm familiar with what it is, and we didn't get instant healing. You know, like rise up and walk, you know, and fold your bed up and go home. Go on about your business. And well, we know God heals. I mean, even if you cut, you get a paper cut. The only God can heal it. You can put a Band-Aid on it. But we've talked about that for years. But I want to talk about why that happened. Okay, let's just go to Matthew 9. I had some more to say, but I'm going to keep it short. There's people going after me, so. Okay, yes, Matthew 9. Okay, and he entered into a ship and passed over. See, he could walk on water, but he got on a ship. Maybe he wanted a nap. That's what happened before, but they woke him up. So maybe okay, and he passed over and came into his own city. This means he was going home because in the last chapter, everybody ran him off. He cast out some devils, and it made him mad. And they said, we don't want you on our coast. And so he got in the boat and took off. And he came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. They carted him and they packed him up there. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy. That palsy is paralyzed. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now think about that. They packed this man all the way across the country and his bed, and they took him to Jesus to get him healed. And he said, I got good news, I forgive you. And I can picture him turning around walking, starting to walk off, waiting for somebody to stop him. Okay. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing the thought, said, wherefore do you think evil in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.
Amen.
Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Take your bed and go home. Look at his priorities. Okay. I am going to get to my testimony because I'm cutting a lot out now. I've got a whole lot more. I'm probably going to have to get back up to say some of these things, but I'm sure you'll probably call me after this. Yep. And we see that. We understand that a little better now.
Amen.
That's one thing I left out. Thank you for that. Okay. We're talking about the accordion again. Okay. Some songs, they might not use your key. There's one song that needs every key. It needs all of them, or it's not going to work. And when we play that, it's going to be so beautiful that the dead are going to say, y'all hear that? They're playing my song. They're playing our song. And that's going to be such a beautiful harmony. But it's going to take every key. I mean, you can make a lot of songs with a couple keys, can't you? Okay. Now I forgot where I was when I started that. I'm telling you, I got a lot, and I'm new at this. I've seen Brother Childers do it. I mean, he could multitask. I'm not there yet. I'm practicing.
Amen.
Okay. And he arose and departed to his house. So he just got up and went home. But okay, I'll just start my testimony then. Brother Don, I'm going to use you for this. We can't even go across town without saying, I built that house, or I built that garage, or I put that roof on. You know, and you can take a lot of pride in that. There's a curse on the earth. So if you build something in the last 20, 30 years, I mean, that's you got bragging rights. If it still functions, still looks good. But that's all temporal. I know I've worked for a lot of you. I've worked with a lot of you. Y'all seen my work. This is my right hand. If I want something done right, I'll use my right hand. So, but anyways, when I had the stroke and I went in the hospital and my hand's just barely working. This happened to me three times. I didn't notice until the third time and I cried. I'm waiting in line, and I'm trying to get my cards out. You know, you got a Speedy card. You got a Kroger card and stuff. It was twice at Speedway and once at Kroger's. And I fumble them and drop them, and they hit the ground and scatter. And before I could even think, I'm thinking about, well, man, I'm holding up the line, and how's this hand going to pick them up? You know, I might have to do it like this. People are on their knees, on their hands and knees, at my feet, saying, here you go, sir. But I thought about that, and out of all the wonderful things that I built with this hand, what God did with it was greater, what God did with it.
Amen.
When it was crippled, than everything I've ever done. Because everything else I did was temporal, and now it was eternal. Here you go, sir, at my feet. And it blew my mind the first two times, but then, I mean, it really blew my mind that last time, because I got the full effect of it, and that just touched me.
Amen.
That'll humble you.
Yes.
And make you feel honored.
Wow.
So that's my real testimony.
Amen.
It was mine. Now it's all of our testimony. You give your personal testimony. When it gets out there, then it's our testimony.
Amen.
Just like what I told you about Brother Childers. Stay with me, fellas. That wasn't mine to keep. That was ours.
That's right.
I just packed it back here. Because Brother Childers couldn't.
Amen.
So, okay, I'm going to let somebody else get up. I have a whole lot more. I need to do this again.
Amen.
But I think you're not going to let me get by. But now that you see what I see.
God bless Brother Mike. That's my brother right there. He poured his heart out. Y'all didn't get nothing out of that. You weren't listening. My goodness, I am so grateful to be here right now. And, whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I got blessed today because I got the opportunity to spend time with my dad. And, he looks good, you know? For all the bad news that I got, he looked really healthy. And, you know, he had all his teeth pulled out and stuff, and he got a whole new grill, you know? I was like, wow, look at you. Your teeth look better than mine. I can stop traffic with mine, you know? And so I went over there to, you know, put in a new floor and stuff, and I'm working on that right now just to help him out and stuff. And, you know, like how God gave Hezekiah 15 more years, you know, he said, get your house in order. So he's working on getting his house in order, you know, doing those things. And I'm just grateful. You know, I had gotten a call from a buddy of mine. And I remember when I got a prayer cloth for his wife, because she was just about to give birth. And, you know, the baby's heart was enlarged and everything like that. Well, the baby's off the medication right now. So I said, you know, Tommy, if you get the chance to tune in, you know, you got a whole body of people that were praying for you, standing in the gap for you. We love you, man. And so he just kept telling me, you know, I love you so much, you know, and, you know, it's just so important to know who you are in this hour.
That's right.
And to know who you are is everything. So I wanted to get into this here, and I'm just so excited because I'm enthused, like Jeremiah would say. I'm enthused about what I got, because you know how Brother Moore was talking about the teacher and everything like that. Well, it's really good for you to go home, do your homework, and try to get it done early, because you know when you get it done early and you get it out the way, you got time for other things God can use you for. But everybody waits to the last minute, like myself, and then you know when you finally finish, it's like at the last moment, and you just wasted a whole lot of time that God could have used you for something else, you know, and. Because you always want to be prepared. Because,
right.
You know, success loves preparation. And you never know where the teacher's going to go. They might call you up, and you might have to go to that green board, and you might have to present what you study. And if you're not ready, you're making an embarrassment of yourself. But you know what? That's good, too, because now it'll teach you, this is what I need to do. You know, so correction, you know, is really, really good for us. So. Thank God for a house of correction.
Amen.
Thank you so much, sis. And so, without further ado, I would like to get, Brother Moore brought something on Sunday that just blew my mind, what pleases God. And we've been talking about it today, and really what pleases God is faith, what Brother Seth said. But it's doing what he asked you to do, you know. And you know, one thing that I know is helped me out a lot with being up here is that I have a strong backing. When you have a strong backing that paves the way for you, it's really simple to just stay right in tune with that. Amen. And so I don't want to go off on a limb. You know, you can call me a tree hugger because that's really my name, because you're never going to see me on a limb. You're never going to see me way far out there until the branch breaks and then we got a catastrophe over here. So I want to stay right with the ministry. I want to stay right where the ministry's going with things, because it's just easier that way. I don't have to come up with nothing. You know, God's already provided everything I need in what's been preached. Just take that mind, you know, and he's going to show you what everything is. So, you know, I'm so excited. So what I have is a little bit of reading tonight. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let me give you a little second to get there and get some water here. Because I believe in inquiring of the Lord for everything now. And I don't know when that changed, but I'm glad it did. Because, you know, I used to just do things because I knew I had this planned, I had this plan. I have plans. That was a problem. That's a problem to God. You know, Satan, you know, he knows all he has is condemnation and argumentation, right? And we rarely give that to him. But what he's fully invested in is you keeping your thinking. That's what he's fully invested in. He will let you do whatever it is that you do with God, but you just got to give him one opportunity to keep your thinking, and he sneaks right on in. Let's choke him out. Let's shut him down. Brother Childers used to say, shut him down at the door. Don't even buy what he's selling. Just close the door right in his face. Slam his foot right in the door. So we're over here at Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to start here. It's a little bit of reading, and we're going to start here at verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and at this point, when they heard that, my goodness, they were frightened, because they know how he served Saul, how he served the last king, and now this man's king? He was a tyrant. I mean, this guy destroyed every army. They heard of David all across the land. So when they knew that David was king, they were in trouble. Every kingdom was in trouble. That's how powerful David's name was. And so when they anointed him king over all of Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. That means they wanted to challenge him. They wanted to get him out the way as fast as possible before he even got any kind of steam. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, listen to this, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said, listen to what the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So right there, we got permission. I already talked to him first. I'm about to go over there and slaughter these cats. I'm taking what's mine, you know? So, and David came into Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken. See, he was doing what God allowed him to do and telling them what God allowed him to do. That's a double whammy, you know? So he said, David smote them there, and the Lord had broke, David said, and the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the branch of waters. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. I mean, they were so scared, they left everything behind. They dropped everything. Yeah, even the God. Yeah. And then so it says here, right here, David, okay, yeah, David burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. He was like a ninja. He told them not. I mean, he's telling them stealth information. Like, I mean, really, how to defend, how to attack. I mean, he's giving them special coordinates. They weren't even prepared for David. And so against the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of it going in the tops of the mulberry trees, and then thou shalt bestir thyself. That means be quiet, just kind of wait. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines. And David did so. See, there's a relationship going on here. There's a communication going on. And when you're in tune with God and you put him first in your plans, there is a serious communication. That means it's a give and take. It's a yin and yang, you know? So, and David did so. And the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come Gezer. The title of my message this evening is, do so as the Lord commanded you. So I wanted to bring in a Brother Branham quote because this was just perfect for this portion of the reading here. It says here from Brother Branham, it's a Brother Branham quote from 62 from the book Presuming. And it says, I believe in praying over things before we make our choice. And when I saw that, I had just got that today. I mean, Brother Jeremiah, I was scheduled to come on last week and probably the week before, but then I got pushed out and I had nothing. I studied, I had nothing. Nothing stuck. And then what I did have in my notes, God's like, get rid of that. Don't even want to hear that. And I thought I had like 17 different titles, and God was like not interested in any of them, and they were good too. I mean, blockbusters, but so he only wants the body. Like Jay said, it's that serious. It's that simple. He just wants the body. He doesn't want nothing else. Yeah, keep a scripture or two. Yeah, maybe write some things down because, when you're thinking about the Father, his thoughts are your thoughts. When you're pondering on his word, his thoughts are your thoughts. And guess what comes after that? His ways, your ways will be his ways. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to go into Samuel 6 because this is where I'm actually really getting my thought from. And it says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. So this was his army here. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts and dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Okay. Now check this out. Now we've gone through the ending of 5, right? And you've heard David ask the Lord 2 different times, right? So this is where a lot of us, I'm not talking about nobody else outside this door, a lot of us make that mistake. Because when you're inquiring of the Lord and you're walking stride with God and you're doing everything and that he asks you to do and you're doing good, you can start getting a little exalted. Like, hey, you know what? I got this. I've already done it twice. I smashed the Philistines already, I played ninja in the trees, got them too. I got them good. God smote them before me. I've got this. I'm his man. And that's where you make your mistake. So let's read a little more, see what else happened, because this is exciting, okay? So God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. That was in Geba. And Uzzah, Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Geba, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahiah went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on upholsteries and trembles and on cornets and on cymbals. David knew exactly how he was supposed to carry this ark because Saul already told him the prophet. See, that's why it's important to have a prophet. That's important to really, really get what the prophet was saying and keep it and use it and apply it, because he didn't do it here. He figured just because he had so many victories, so many overcomings, that he was, that is, didn't stink, you know? But it stunk right here because he thought he could just not inquire of the Lord. He thought that he could just play music because God wants praises, you know, but there's a certain way you handle God. And he was in a box right here in the Ark of the Covenant. There's a certain way he wanted to be handled, certain way he wanted to be transported. So let's see what happened here. And when they came to Nachish's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him, therefore his error, and there he died by the Ark of the Covenant. Just touching it. How many people have touched you? You got Brother Mike. He was in the store. Dropped all of his stuff. People touched God by helping God. You can curse God too. There's another way to touch God, you know? And the way you handle God is life or death. Our very lives in here are on the line. You know, I mean, what does God have to do to get our attention? Jay was just the first example. What is it going to take? He'll take our pastor out. He'll take our other brother out. What is it going to do to get you to move? And I'm just talking about myself because I sat here just like everybody else. Like, just twiddling my fingers. Didn't know what I had in me. Sitting here, like Elise said, getting fat. So let's go back down here, and because I'm almost done here. And the anger of the Lord, okay, right here. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah, and it's still like that to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord. See, when you don't inquire of him, you know, you're going to learn. It'll make you afraid. And you better fear the Lord. Because that it's not a fear of like, oh, man, you know, like, it's a fear of reverence. You will respect the word of God. You respect that birthright, just like the brothers were saying about Jacob. And so David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So I'm not going to go any further into the story, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase off of it and stuff. The ark went to Obed-Edom's house, and Obed-Edom's house was blessed. But what I was thinking about as I read this whole story, you know, that Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. You know, you had to go into that place, and they used to tie some kind of rope around the guy's ankle, the high priest, you know, because if he didn't move, if he didn't kick back, you know, if there was no pulse, drag him out, next guy, you know? So it stayed at Obed-Edom's house, and he was blessed, you know? And I just looked at that, I was like, the Ark of the Covenant's in flesh right now. And people get to touch this ark every single day. And so I wanted to go into a Brother Branham quote here. And it's from 62. And the name of the book is The Way of a True Prophet of God. And it says here, no matter how smart a man is and how much he can do, Brother Mike, and how much prosperity, if he gets away from God, he's an indebtment to the nation. That means indebtment is you're indebted. It's a state. Indebtment is a state of being indebted. And you'll become a major liability. Brother Moore said he's got three levels of protection.
and you pass all three of those, you're an indebtment to the body. So it behooves us to just follow the ministry. Stay, stride right, stride in the ministry. Don't take a detour. Don't try to come with something new. You know, just stay with the body. Stay with the ministry. Stay with the ministers, that what they're preaching. Just stay right there, because, you know, you bless the body. This message is so big. There's so much for all of us. All of us could speak. We could take one message, break it down, and nobody would repeat themselves, because everybody would be picking something that was tailor-made for them. That's why when this Holy Ghost walks these aisles and reveals, he's revealing something different. It's not all the same. All of us perceive different. We talk different. We come with something different, and we take in differently. So, and I'm way off my notes. So I'm okay now. So I'm good. So I wanted for you guys to turn with me to Matthew 26, because, you know, I wanted to talk about Jesus here, because this kind of ties with the theme here, because Jesus was a man full of sorrow. You ever been around somebody like that? Like, just always, every day, just so sorrowful, you know? But he had the weight of the world on him, you know? So I just wanted to talk about that for just a second. So Matthew 26. I've never been able to turn through this Bible so fast and find what I needed until now. So we're going to go to verse 36. Then Jesus cometh, or then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. See, nobody could understand what he was even talking about. And that's a huge burden, okay? A massive burden. And it is the very same burden all of us carry in here. We've got the weight of the world. But thank God it's not just in one man anymore. Thank God he didn't want to go back to that same thing, because that's a lot of pressure on one person. Amen. It's a many-member body now. And that's why Brother Moore and the ministry, they've been hammering on us about this for years. Because why are you just going to leave it to three people or four people? All of us in here have something. All of us in here are packing God, the creator of all things. And it would behoove us to really step out. Amen. Step out. Get out of yourself. And it's a big deal, because Jesus had to do the same thing. Amen. And watch what he says here. Watch what he says here. He said, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch me and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Right. Your will has to be his will. Amen. That's the only will you will have. You have to have his will. Amen. And you have to inquire about him before you try to do anything. And sometimes I try to stop myself, you know, when I get ready to leave my house every day and stuff. Sometimes I pull out of the parking lot and just go straight. And sometimes I'll stop myself and be like, hey, hold on, you need to give God a little bit of praise, man. He woke you up this morning. Amen. You know, he's given you business. I mean, he's given, all the clothes that I'm wearing right now came from somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I have never bought any of these clothes. I don't even know how to shop. You know, I don't really know what to buy for myself, because I'm so busy buying for everybody else, my kids, everybody else. You know, God gives to me. And you know, if y'all thought, you know, I'm all designer over here, nah, this came from other people, you know, this came from other people. But you know what, that's what I like. I like free, you know? So, let me get some water. That was right here. He said, it was not my will, but thine. And he made that public testimony when he took the cross. And so I wrote down, but if his public testimony that he made, that was what pleased God. It was his testimony. See, there was when Brother Jeremiah brought up
there was three raptures in the Old Testament, three raptures in the New Testament. And then he was talking about Enoch. And Enoch had a testimony that pleased God. Well, so did Jesus. But his was just a little more public. And, you know, whether it's private or public, you still got to testify. You know, for those of you that don't really get up too much, just step out. You know, you got to start somewhere. And when you start, don't stop. I will never sit down again. I will never sit down again. Not on God, not any time. You need me to preach. You need me to do anything. Sound room, play a song, play the drums. You got another J on your hands. You got another one. I was born on the same day, too. Same day, October 8th. Just a little bit younger, you know. But you got two chocolate morsels. You didn't even know. So let me go over here and see. I even wrote this down. I wrote this question. It says, what did God command of us in this hour? Let's go to Revelation chapter 10. Oh, God bless you guys tonight. God is good. So good to us. And let's go to chapter 10, verse 8. And I'm just going to read right through this. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the mighty angel and said unto him, give me the little book. See, this is what we're supposed to do. And he's not going to make you do it. You got to come to him. And you don't know where he'll bring you from. Look, I came 3,000 miles, me and John. We hit every gutter in America before we got here. We've done so many crazy things just to get here. And then when I got here and I heard it one time, it only took one time, I said, ooh, there's something in that. There's something there. I got to come back again. I got to. There's something here. And the funny thing about it is me and John, we were like really looking. We're seeking God out. We were at the Apostolic Lighthouse every day at 10 o'clock praying for 2 hours, trying to speak in tongues, all that stuff, you know? My goodness, this is a lot of work, you know? Then I come over here and I'm free, weights falling off me. I love it. I love this word. I love how it's put here. I love what Brother Childers bought. Because you know what? Brother Moore, he said, I'm going to keep every single thing here that Brother Childers brought. Not changing anything. God bless you for that. Because that is the true word of God. Amen. And so I looked and I was like, okay, well, there's another question here. How should we even inquire of the Lord? So, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. This is, and I love when he preached this. I loved when he preached this because this is the key right here. And it says, I'm just going to go right to the good stuff, okay? And it says right here, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. You got to read. You know, and I'm just going to put myself out there, you know, because all of you guys are scholars and read and all that good stuff. I hate reading because I just don't know. I don't retain what I read. You know, my comprehension is just, you know, it's a little slower. But thank God for a revelation. Because, you know, a revelation will go further than education. It'll go further than your abilities. It'll go further. It'll take you further. And it'll give you the understanding. So it's important to read. Don't just take my word for it. Go read your Bible. You know, you got to see it for yourself. You have to see it because it reads different when you look at it. If you're talking about yielding your members, you got to yield your eyes. You got to open your mind. You got to yield your ears, all that. Then you got to hear. Because he that heareth, you ever run into those people who are like, oh, I've read the Bible, top, back, side to side, back to front. And I know everything in there. Okay, well, you know what? You ain't been rebuked. You ain't heard it. How do you know you got it right? How do you know? You got to hear it. How faith coming by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. And when you got the first two down pat, guess what's going to happen? Automatically, you're going to keep it. Amen. Because guess what comes right after hearing and reading? The trial. Amen. Trial's going to hit you. Storm's going to come. Billows are going to roll.
And what are you going to do? What do you have in you that's going to help you get over that? And that's why you got to have all three.
Amen.
So I loved it because right after I read that, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So, because like people want to put their own interpretation on what they read. Right. That's why it's so dangerous to just read it. Amen. See, you got to have all three. Amen. And I got a Brother Branham quote that just ties with that. So that's kind of neat. So it's from God of This Evil Age, 1965. I don't believe that any man on earth has the right to put his own interpretation to the word. God doesn't need anybody to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. And God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So I loved what I love what Brother Moore said Sunday night. Because Sunday night he was like, you know, you don't got to bring something all mystical and try to be all new and try to find something in the depths of Habakkuk. I was dying. So we're going to turn to Habakkuk. I love this because I was actually just looking for Matthew 26 and fell on Habakkuk. And it touched me so much because this is us. You know, if you read this book, you have to read it with revelated eyes. And because you're never going to get anything out of it unless you have a revelation. And it was so beautiful because it just reminded me of us as a body, you know? So listen to this, Habakkuk chapter 2. Let me start at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. This is what Brother Moore has been preaching for years. We need to stand as a body, like Brother Mike was saying, in one accord. I will stand. You know, Brother Moore's the watchman on the wall, but you know what? Sometimes that watchman on the wall, he gets a little bit tired after a while. You know what I'm saying? He's the only one. Everybody's just chilling, hanging back, doing whatever they want to do, not even giving. You know, I want to come to the wall, and I want to watch too. I want to see what he's looking at. Sure. I want to help, however I can help. Maybe one day I might be able to just sit there and give him a little opportunity to lay back and hang back for a minute. Well, I can watch on my watch. I want to stand on my watch. And set me upon the tower. See, goes back to what I was just saying. And I and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what shall I answer when I am reproved? Reproved is just another word for rebuke. You need to be corrected. And when you're corrected, you'll know exactly where the ministry's going. You'll know exactly what God is asking of you. You'll know exactly what to do. And you'll do it with confidence. Just like I'm standing here, I'm not boastful. I'm not standing here cocky. I'm confident because the word is what's backing me. God is who's talking right now. And it says here, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. You know, he made it so plain. He said, if you got a thought, write it down. You know, put something on paper, you know, and because it shows God, you know, that you're invested in him. If I have a woman, I want her to be invested in me. Right. Only me. Right. And so he said, make it plain. Huh. This word here is so plain. It can't. I don't know if it can get any plainer. So easy. 6-year-olds can ask questions about it. 15-year-olds can testify about it. God bless this place. And he said, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. When I got this, I was like, I couldn't wait to get back here. Yeah. Oh, and you know, and sometimes, you know, Pastor, when Pastor said, you know, you don't get all excited, but I couldn't help it. I was like, oh, I'll just say what Jeremiah said. I'm enthused. So it says, for the vision is yet for the anointed time, appointed time. And that time is right now. That's why I'm so excited about this Habakkuk here. And this guy, he had a burden on him. You know who he remind me of in the church age? He remind me of Luther. Because just a little further down here, it says, the just shall live by faith. I'm like, wow, Lord, this all runs, you know? So I just wanted to share that little morsel, little token there with you guys. God bless you. Next, brother.
Double dip.
snuck in the first time. I'll do it right. No, but I am enthused. And it was funny because what they were saying, I'm just, you know, I was thinking about it. The spirit of Pentecost, you know, that's one of the one things I want to say. We still have that. You know, they talked about, you know, before that spirit would come over you. But now we have a spirit in us. Amen. You know, it excited me, though, because, you know, I was thinking, I guess I will read this scripture. It's Psalms 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Yes. What sustains me? This word, yes. This revelation. Oh, Lord, you know what? I don't want to put myself into spiritual bondage. Right, right. You know, you talk about we're free. That song, free. Yes. What's sin? The only sin is disbelief. Right. I don't see any unbelievers here. No. Let the unbeliever depart.
Right.
We're a bunch of believers.
Amen.
There's so nothing but belief in here.
Right.
So when you talk about this, you know, we give Satan too much credit. We're over here, you know, oh, well, you know, Lord, you know, no. You hold your shoulders back.
That's right. Yes.
You hold your head up.
Yes.
You're a new creature.
Yes.
I heard that one time. You know? I love that because, you know, he said, read those notes. So Brother Mike went back and looked through my notes real quick. One, I didn't even know there's a book of the Bible called Habakkuk. So I'm not studied or learned, but it's been revealed to me.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham couldn't even read.
Right.
But that was revelated to him.
Amen.
You listen to the way he
right.
talks.
Right.
That's God talking.
Because
He provided a vessel.
Yes.
That's all God wants
that's
is a vessel. You know, Brother Moore said, until there's a pile of ashes on the floor.
Right.
You know, I don't want to come in here anymore. Anymore. That's the point. Because you could have said until today.
Right.
You're gonna leave it here underneath the pulpit and just walk away.
Right.
You don't have to sit on God.
No.
It's funny because, you know, we have that sign back there, get rowdy.
Right.
I never truly understood it. Never understood it. You know, Brother Moore's like, well, you know, you guys, you get so excited about your sports and you get so excited about what you want in the natural. How much more in the spiritual should we be turned on? It made me a little bit nervous because I had to move myself back there because, you know, I love this singing. It sets a precedence for the service. But I was like, I have to move. I have to hear God talk. It's not me. It's not, Seth will mess it up. This flesh, I've messed it up many a times. I have crossed against those levels of protection. I don't want to be a detriment to the body because that will be removed. But, you know, the funny thing is, though, is because you have something in you, you'll turn. I'll never be a detriment to this body because I have a revelation. I have internal security. I have representation. That representation, you know, amen, you're right. That's 100% the truth. I may not be able to ever live up to it, I may not be able to ever fulfill it. It's still the truth. That body still has to get up. Just because I can't live up to a certain... Yes, you follow what goes through here. You carry that covenant like it's supposed to. You'll be blessed.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be blessed.
Yeah.
But if you mess with it, oh, Lord, there's a price to pay.
Amen.
But guess what? Salvation's still mine.
That's right.
The salvation's still mine. Doesn't change the fact. Yes, this walk is a little bit more... interesting, but that's God's plan.
That's right.
God's permissive will.
Right.
You know, He's got His perfect will. You know, you do what the Bible says. It's still the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you still marriage and divorce, all that stuff. It's still the truth.
Right.
But you know what? Someone told me that's not on our plate.
Right.
We have one thing on our plate to get
that's
the debt
right.
up. And I love that because when you start thinking about what a revelation is, it's an understanding.
That's right.
That having faith.
Yes.
Is a revelation.
That's right.
I can't even have faith in if I know I have faith in. But
right.
I do. I get up here and I see that, you know, I hear God talk. I hear God talk in different aspects. And I love it because we're starting to, you know, you're not making me nervous yet. You're not making me nervous. He said the song leader should be very, have the most nervous job. We should make him nervous. We should make him uncomfortable. Keep him on their toes.
Right.
There shouldn't be 2, 3, 4 songs. There should be 2, 3 brothers singing. God is not in a box. God is, we can't put circumstances. As soon as you try to put God in a box, He'll move. He'll move. You'll put Him in a denomination, you'll miss Him. You'll sit there and Lutheran or Wesleyan and sit in a church with forms and fashions, and you'll miss it. You'll sit there for 20, 30 years, and I don't know who said it, but they still have fun. Brother Kevin, still having the joy of the Lord. Yeah. And we're over here like, oh, well, you know, amen, amen. Yeah. You know, if you say you have a wife and you don't produce her, I have every right to doubt that you have a wife.
Right.
You know, if you say that you have a revelation, if I don't hear you talk, how do I know if you have a revelation? How do I know what's in you? You have to speak it. You have to, and I've seen my brother speak. I've seen my elders. You know, they said, have a thought. I don't think the elders should just have a thought. I think everyone should have a thought.
Amen.
Everybody should come in. Because you know what that thought does? It sits there. You know, God can deal with you. Because you start looking at a, you know, you look at this, like, well, how does God, how do you please God? And you look at just the Bible, and you know, we have electronics now. So you can go into a database.
Right.
I don't, all mine's almost, right. You can say, please. And it shows all 995,000 matches.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, okay. Well, that interesting. You start Habakkuk.
Yeah.
Okay, Habakkuk. Oh, you know, I thought that was a fish. But you know. But that's the thing, though. Is it's the beauty of it, because it's not just the written word. It's got to be also the dynamics and the mechanics. You know, you can have all the scriptures you want. You could go to school, and I went to a Christian college. And they had a master's degree. They had a doctor's degree. A doctorate's in the Bible. That made me nervous. Because, you know, when I applied for that school, I had to have a letter from a pastor, a recommendation. And there was part of me. It's funny, because I was like, oh, Lord, what's he going to write? What's he going to write? I've not been the best. You know what? I got in. You can't live good enough to make it. You can't live bad enough to make it out. Nothing you can do. So what else is there left to do but to get up and say, Lord, thank you. It's not this crazy, profound, you're not speaking in tongues. You're not trying to break down new revelation. The ark goes on the cart. It's done this way. You carry it this way. If you do it wrong, you die. I mean, that's it. That's it. But we want to put our conditions on it. And we want to put our forms and, well, you know, Let me put Seth on him. You know, I mess it up. Because all I'm going to give is filthy rags. All I'm going to give you is like, well, you know, I probably won't. I'll say I'll be there, but I probably won't make it. You know, but God shows up every time. You know, it's funny you said about the Garden of Gethsemane. All he's asking is for us to testify again.
That's it.
He's not asking you to sacrifice yourself for the good of the world. You're not crying tears of blood.
No.
You literally have to get up, and you should have the joy to get up and say, hey, he brought me in one more time.
Right.
Because you know what? You have a revelation knowing that if you don't come in, you have a perfect body.
Yeah.
So if you do come in, we can talk about that perfect body.
Amen.
I mean, we're literally talking about a wedding supper. We're talking about laying this earthly tabernacle down to pick something greater up. That's all it is. That's just, we're just communing with God.
Right.
We're having, you know, this should be the highlight of our day. This should be the funnest part.
Yeah.
But we want to turn it into almost a denomination.
Right.
And I see it's like, well, oh, okay. Yeah, so when I do this, it's not for the boast. It's to help me, because come Thursday, when I'm going to go replay Wednesday, just like I replayed Sunday. Just like I replay, because that keeps me going to the next day.
Yes.
It should dovetail, because it's the same revelation.
Yes.
We're not on limbs. We're not on branches. We're the same revelation. So that same revelation should match up with that same revelation from 63. Should match up with Brother Childers. Would match up with every single word that's come through this pulpit, because God is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
It's not a matter of if. And the fact is, though, is we can even have such a gauge. It can be like, oh, you know when. You know, it's funny, because as a laity, I watch my leader. When someone talks, I'm like, what's he doing? How's your Just like a wife watches the husband.
Sure.
Just like the kids watch the father or the mother. They watch to see how that leadership responds. Because I'm like, oh, all right. Amen. Amen. But that's the thing, though, is... As Brother Moore said, you should have enough authority. TNT. Enough. We're TNT.
Yeah.
Destructive power. Enough to bring life or to bring death.
Amen.
You touch God the right way or you handle God the wrong way. enough that you can, and it's not anything you do, because it's just going to manifest, because it's either, because it's all internal attributes. They're all cut from the same cloth. The foolish virgin, the bride, they're all cut from the same cloth. They're all eternal. It's already done. So all we got to do is, you know, you come across them and that person covers you the right way. Like, oh, thank you. He said a glass of water.
Yeah.
Handing you your cards off the floor during a pandemic. And we're so bad about it. We're like, oh, no, I don't want a glass of water.
Right.
We'll deny somebody.
Right.
We need to get out of ourselves.
Right.
We need to remove ourselves. Yeah. We need to be as cautious with our art.
Yes.
We're over here singing songs and trying to make up a new cart for it, and someone's going to touch it the wrong way, and they're going to die. I don't want to be responsible for everyone's death.
Right.
So I just wanted to get up again. And I want to black Satan's eye.
That's right.
Because I refuse to give Satan any more credit. I refuse to give Satan. Get thee behind me. Get thee. If Jesus spoke to Satan in such a way, I should speak that much more boldly. I shouldn't be sitting there like, oh, Lord. Oh, I'm shook. I am just, oh. I should hear any more of those complaints in this. We should come in like, get up and walk. Open your eyes and see. That same power is with us. But we have too much science. We have too much education. We have too many facts. We have too much of Satan's system that we sit there and we've denied the power of God. We have all the power. I mean, he literally said, dive, seven times in the Jordan? Dive. Just dunk yourself, come back up, and you're good to go. You're good to go. Not six. Not eight. Seven. That's the point. We got to hold to God's word. Because if you don't hold it right, you can dive six times and you're like, oh, I feel the same. Eight times, you're like, well, I missed it. You got to do the seven. But also, it's dunking in water, spitting in dirt. Get up and walk. It's not complicated. Get up, little bride. You know, Brother Bob, Sister Lois, Sister Alice, Brother Neil. We have loved ones we're calling for. We have obligations to call for. And we know them by name.
Yeah. Yes.
Any other age knew anybody by name?
Nope.
No. We have full life. Amen. So I look back there. I can call every single person up by their age. I can call all my loved ones I've lost. I don't even have to worry about if the ones that are living. Because as soon as I'm gone, they're gone too.
Amen.
My loved ones. My wedding supper will have my loved ones with me. My friends and family.
Amen.
That's a promise.
Amen.
And why I wouldn't want to give God the thanks. You've given me so much. You said I can take my loved ones. You said I can heal the sick. You said I can raise the dead. I mean, that sounds like a blockbuster. We'll go pay to see movies like that. But we can't give God the simple thank you. Thank you, Lord. But I want to. That's how we should speak from a personal standpoint. I don't want to sit down on God. So I have to get up before service and after service and... I'll do it. I'll do it till they tell me to sit down.
Amen.
That's what I have to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to praise God. I'm going to testify.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I'm just saying, Lord, thank you so much for revelation. Thank you that you've given me representation.
Yes.
Because if it wasn't for you, I would be no different than anybody out there.
Right.
And it's not an almighty feeling. It's a matter of like, oh, Lord, thank you so much.
Yes.
I made it.
Yeah.
We all made it safe.
Yeah.
It's like baseball. You went through first base, second base, third base.
Come on now.
Wednesday and Sunday night, Sunday morning, safe. You're safe. You're amongst believers.
Yes.
I'm over there, people looking at me crazy. I'm crazy. I guess I am that person now. I've lost my mind. I no longer fit in with the world. Oh, well, you know, people start, you know, that when you start putting things in priority, things change. It's funny. You know, they say sweet in the mouth. It's easy to say something. It's bitter in the belly. I've seen my leadership. I've seen my pastors and my ministers. I've seen them, you know, pray for 8 hours. I've seen it cost. It takes a cost. But I will serve God at whatever cost. Because at whatever cost, it is the salvation. So when I say, the salvation's already been mine. So I say, restore the joy.
Amen.
It's already been mine. Let me get up and tear off my proverbial clothes. Those, like Brother Jeremiah said, take off that baggage. You know, these chairs, they almost it makes you feel uncomfortable. They hold you in. You almost get held down with everything, like just circumstances. Lord, let me just be in the upper room with you. I can be in the upper room. They, like a wind just comes over you. And it, at the same time, it's not with any sensation. That birth is just one word, and you're like, oh, wait, what? What happened? But thank you, Lord, for an understanding.
Amen. It's good to be back in the house of God. I'm enjoying hearing the brothers express their revelation. Beautiful, you know, to see the revelation come out of each and every one of them. It's exactly what Brother Moore's been calling for, that, hey, get out of your shell, get up here, express yourself. If it's a testimony, if it's a song, it don't matter. Just give back to the body. Sister Renee and I was hiking recently, and when you go on the long hikes, you got to take a water bottle with you. And, you know, you got to remind yourself, because you're busy, you're looking around and everything, and you got to remind yourself, stop, take a drink. You're going to get dehydrated. You got to give back to the body. Well, what I see here is the brothers and the body giving back to the body. You know, water in, water out. It's what Brother Moore talked about. But I wanted to share a story, and it's been with me for a few weeks. I was fishing over at Houston Woods. It's been maybe about 3 weeks ago. I told some of the other brothers about it, and God just kept bringing it back to my mind, and I'm like, why are you doing this, Lord? You know, it's over with. It's done, you know? So I was over there fishing out in the middle of the lake, out from the public beach, and if you've ever been to the beach on a lake, it's a lot of noise. Well, I'm there fishing, minding my own business, and I hear, help. And I'm like, that come from the beach? Where'd that come from? You know, and I'm looking around, and I don't see nothing. Everybody's playing on the beach. Next time I hear it a little louder, help. You know, and I'm like, who is saying that? You know, and I'm looking around. I can't see nobody this way. I'm looking back that way. Then it had a little bit more urgency. Help, you know, and I'm like, I hear it back over here. So I can see this is a husband and wife, their canoe flipped over. So they're several hundred yards away. So I, you know, take the boat over there, and another fisherman seen them as well. So we're joining in to try to help them. And I see this husband, you know, and he doesn't know how to swim. And if you guys have ever been in a canoe, you know, it'll float as long as you got no water in it. Well, there was a pretty good wave come and rolled the canoe, and the wife knew how to swim. They had life preservers, but they didn't have them on. So this man, as I'm getting closer and closer, he keeps holding on to this boat. You know, it's his life. It's his lifeline, you know, you could say that. And he keeps trying to pull himself up on this boat, the canoe, and all it would do is roll. It wouldn't, you know, when it's flipped over and there's no buoyancy to it, it ain't gonna help you. So he just started struggling more and more and more, and I thought, You know, so long story short, we got the man and his wife, we got him back to safety, and I thought, you know, Lord, why are you keep bringing that up? And I thought, you know what? That was me in life. You know, no matter what it was, whether it's your job, your family, you know, whatever your career, whatever your field of walk is, it don't matter where you came from. Amen. The Word of God will make it right. Amen. You know, Brother Moore, I think it was Brother Mike, if he's still here, he said, Brother Childers said, stay with me. Right. You know, Brother Moore says the same thing. Get to the house. Get to the house. Get to the house. I understood what Brother Childers was saying there. Stay with me, brothers. He's talking about, you know, that's the Word made flesh. You know, stay with me. You know, stay with the Word. It's what Brother Childers was saying. I believe that with all my heart. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the notes that Brother Moore said, because beautiful message.
And, you know, the brothers hit just about every one of them that I wrote on, but one of them that really stood out to me, and it even reminded me of the husband and wife that flipped the boat over. And it was, I probably paraphrased it because I'm not a fast typer at all. Brother Moore, I mean, the words come off so easy. So one of them was sell out to all that you have and rely on his word. But one of them that really stood out, he's not even your God until you submit yourself to him.
That's right.
And I wanted us to think about that, you know. And I'll raise my hand. Lord, I can do more. I can do so much more. Anything that Brother Moore needs, Jeremiah, Brother Jay, the ministry, the body, let me help. Let me do anything I can do to help this body. And that's my desire, you know.
Amen.
You know, we talked about sometimes, you know, my mind's racing a little bit, but one time Brother Brandon was talking about a poison, you know, hitting the body, the local assembly, and he said, don't pull away. He said, draw that much closer together. You know, it was a poison that hit Brother Jay's liver, you know. What are we doing? We're doing exactly what the Word said. Draw that much closer together. Help one another. Hold each other up. It is so important. You know, we all go through it. I mean, I'm proud of these. I mean, some of these young brothers, I'm like, wow, that's impressive, you know. I really love it. But anyway, I just wanted to share a few of the notes. And Brother Moore, thank you. And if there's anything that I can do to help, just let me know. I know that we talk, you know, on the side frequently. Same way, Jeremiah, anything you need, don't hesitate to ask. That's what we're here to do.
Yes.
Don't feel like you're carrying the whole load. We're here to help as well.
Amen.
Brother Moore.
God bless my brothers.
Amen.
You know what you're finding out? It is a body ministry. And that's, if you've never understood that before, you should see it now. And, you know, the thing that you got to understand is that what we have here is rare. You all don't know it because you don't go around the world, but I've been there. Some of you have been there. Doug's been there. Jeremiah's been there. You know, and we what we have is rare. And the balance and the revelation, it's rare. And it's more rare than you would even imagine. And so by you brothers getting up, you're giving back to the body, not just Fairborn. This goes around the world, you know, and to show you how effective, and I told Jay this today. I told him, I said, Jay, you don't realize the effect that you've had around the world. We come here and all we see is the four walls, and we just sit here and we do this, and Praveen's back there and he's doing his thing, and everybody's just doing their little thing. But to us, we think it's just a service. But there's people that are tuning in around the world. And the revelation that you have is what they're wanting. They want to hear that. They want to hear it from the laity. They want to hear it from the ministry. Like I said, I was over there and a brother didn't realize it was me that was the pastor of Fairborn Community until he was sitting across from me and they told him who I was. And he immediately started commenting on you, the body. And he's like, you're the ones that got the congregation that gets up. He said, oh, I love hearing those testimonies. He says, it means so much to me. And you all don't realize the effect that it has around the world. You just think you're just talking to us. But people are listening. They're tuning in. And the brother even told me, he said, oh, the way you run your church, I'm going to change that. I'm going to have my congregation get up and testify. They're wanting to do that because it's a body ministry. It's not about the preacher's just getting up here and all the glory goes to him and everybody's patting him on the back on such a message. But each one of us are part of this body. And just as much as I'm holding fast to what God gave Brother Childers in 73, so are you. It's not just me, it's you too, because your life, your testimony, your words, when the world hears from you, they're hearing from the same God. And when they hear from you, like tonight, the brothers that got up tonight, that was God. You said, well, isn't a preacher going to get up? The preacher was up. He was up the whole night. But in our mindset, we're so traditionalized in church order and doctrines, and this, we got everything so locked down that the minister's got to be the one who does this, and it is not going to be the ministers who bring the body change. It's going to be all of us. Amen. And if you don't even have enough to just testify about the hope that lies within you, how are you going to get the dead up?
That's right.
I mean, we are supposed to be getting the dead up. That's our goal. That's all we're saying we're wanting to do. But, you know, so it's going to take more than me. It's going to take more than Jay. It's going to take more than Jeremiah. It's going to take the whole body. Because in the upper room, they were all in one accord. They were all together. And so the word that you're getting, the revelation that you're getting here, as you apply it to your lives, and you don't change it, you don't add to, you don't take away from it, you just take it and put it to use in your life, you'll find out. You start doing that. That's the lessons I want you brothers to understand, is when you're home studying these things, because you got to get up and minister and say something to the body, and then you get anointed and you get enthused and you want to do it. That should be every day with us. It shouldn't be unusual. It should be usual. For brothers to get up here and expound on the Word of God shouldn't be unusual. It should be usual.
Right.
For all of us to be turned on and talking from where we're at, it should be usual. And so don't think this is just I think Sister Renee said a few weeks ago, she is enthused, and she said a few weeks ago, she's back there, and she said, I get enthused when God turns a corner. And she said, I think God's turning a corner. Now that was a sister. Don't pay her no attention. That wasn't God. That was Sister Renee. Wrong. That was God trying to let us realize that the whole church is turning a corner. And where we were a month ago, we're not there now. And if you say we are, then you need to turn the corner. And what it should do is put an enthusiasm, put a little onus on you that this message that we're preaching, we're doing this in front of everybody so that the cameras can pick it up and take it around the world. That's why we spend so much money on that tape room and right, do all the stuff we do back there, because it gives the world an opportunity to tune in to God, what God's doing here.
Yes.
You say, is God only here? No, but God's here. I can't say everywhere God is, but I know one place He is. So I want to put everything I have into putting the revelation that we have here out there, because people need it. And it doesn't have to just come for me. It came for three brothers, four brothers tonight. And so I'm glad about that. The one thing that I want to say is, you know, the problem with David getting the Ark of the Covenant wasn't the fact that he was going after the Ark. He just didn't do it the way that God wanted him to. He consulted God every other time. You read it tonight. Before every battle, he consulted the Lord. He consulted the Lord. And God told him exactly what to do, whether to take it or not take it, go by the mulberry and wait till I shake the bush. And when God was giving him orders. But when it came to the Ark of the Covenant, like you said, David thought, I know what God wants. But he didn't know what God wants. Because if you watch the way the Ark of the Covenant works, it always is carried by the high priest.
That's right.
It's not put on a new cart.
Right.
God don't need a new way.
No, that's He don't need you to come up with a new revelation. He don't need you to come up with a new message. He just needs you to do it the way that he said he wants it done.
That's right.
If David had put it on the shoulders of the priests like they did when they come out of it with Moses and with Joshua, and when Joshua had those high priests out there and they had to cross the Jordan River, those high priests went out there. They had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. They had the singers and the dancers out there. They were doing it right.
They were doing it right.
That's why Lord said do that.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to do. We just need to do what God says to do. And don't worry about putting your hand on the cart, because you're the one carrying it. You're supposed to have your hand on it.
Yeah.
You know, Uzzah didn't. He wasn't supposed to be. He wasn't a high priest. He wasn't a man chosen for that job.
That's right.
He wasn't the body that was selected for that particular task. Well, we are the body that's selected for this particular task.
Amen.
So don't worry about putting your hand on it, because you should.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do this.
Amen.
So as we change, turn the corner, and the brothers get up, and as we do things a little different, don't pine for the old way. Remember how it was 4 weeks ago? Do you want to go back to that?
No.
Does anybody in here want to go back to that? He said, well, I don't want to hear from the brothers. I just want to hear from the pastor and the two ministers. That's the old thinking. God's in the body. And that's a big step for us to start looking for God in the body. And so for him to be able to use anybody in this place, It should make us look at things differently. And like Sister Renee said, we've turned a corner. And if you want to go back, I'm sorry. How are you going to go back? You got crazy Seth loose now.
That's right.
We won't go back. And Don saying, we won't go back. And everybody, our brothers are like, we're not going back. Because you know what? You know how you felt before. And you know how you feel now. And you know how little you did before. And you now see how much you should be involved.
Yeah.
So if that's what Jay going in the hospital did for us, thank God for Jay's sacrifice for the body.
Thank you.
But like I said before, I said, you're not doing this for Jay. Because see, when y'all first are starting to try to get up, you're like, well, we're going to do this for Jay. I'm like, you're not doing this for Jay. Quit that. Stop that. You're doing it for the body. Because when Jay gets back, you're not going to sit down. That's why I said you're not doing it for Jake. And I was like, they got the wrong thought here. Let me straighten this out. You're doing this for God. You're doing it for the body.
That's right.
The body gets edified. Has the body gotten edified tonight?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So what more could we ask for?
Amen.
What more could we want but for God to move in this congregation? And people will look at our services online and they're like, oh my goodness, what have they done now? So come on, musicians, if the Lord says I'm a blessing,
then I am.
What you got to say about it?
Amen.
Amen. Now don't forget the announcements, whatever they are, Jeremiah.
Yeah, so we tomorrow we have song practice, regular song practice. Next Thursday we'll do the young people again, so keep that in your mind. You got August 5th coming up, where we're going to have Sister Sway's shower. They got that up there now for 12 p.m. And then August 6th is going to be the church picnic.
Uh-uh.
And we got September 10th, church pitcher. And September 29th is going to be the bonfire. And I got a date worked out with Brother Destin. There's more to come on potentially going to this rodeo, so I'll get that announced here soon.
And keep Jay in your prayers. Keep the body in your prayers. Worldwide body. Amen. If the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I am. Come back on Sunday, and let's see what else the Lord has in store for us. Amen. If the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I am. And if the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I am. And if the Lord yeah.